Truly, I feel we are standing this morning on holy ground. Does anybody else feel that? Yes? I'm almost apprehensive to speak into the silence that we just felt when we felt the touch on our hearts. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Father, we thank you so much that you are here by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. We praise you, Lord, that I believe every heart in here has been touched already this morning. And as we listen to your word, as we hear what you're saying to us through your word, I pray that we will be encouraged, we will be built up, we will be motivated, we will be stretched, our vision will be enlarged. And we will want to see your kingdom extended in this world. Guide me as I speak this morning, that I only speak your words. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And you're all probably sitting there and saying, jolly glad she said, only speak the Lord's words and not her words. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, could you turn to Ephesians 3, please? And I believe that it's amazing. Well, it's not amazing because we serve an amazing God. But everything that has happened this morning over the last couple of weeks or so leads us into what I believe Father would have us hear this morning. And if I had to give this a title, which I did to the sandbox, it would be The Extraordinary versus the Ordinary. In other words, the supernatural versus the physical. So the book of Ephesians was written by Paul about AD 60, from Rome, where he was in prison. Can you imagine writing a book of encouragement when you're in prison? But this is what he did. It was a letter of encouragement to build up the believers in Ephesus, and it was to strengthen them in understanding how their faith operated. That they were filled with the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? God wants to do that to us today. He wants to build us up. He wants to stretch us. He wants to enlarge our vision. Who's ever experienced growing pains as a child? Oh, a few of you have. Some of you aren't honest. But when I was a child of growing pains, I used to lay in bed and think, my legs, they hurt so much. Anybody else feel that? Yeah? Well, God today wants to stretch you and I with a little bit of growing pains. And there may be things that we need to look at. We heard, it was Sally this morning, say the word she bought touched her, was for her. She'd got to grow into it. And maybe this morning what we hear from here, we've got to grow into. I've got to grow into. You've got to grow into. So here we are, Ephesians 3. We're going to pick up in verse 14. For this reason, I, as Paul, kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Well, hang on a minute, what's the reason? What reason is he talking about? Well, if you went back to the start of chapter 3, which I'm not going to, you'd read about God's marvelous plan for us. For us, we're grafted in to the chosen race, the Jewish people, we're grafted in. Pick up verse 6 of chapter 3. This mystery is through the gospel. The Gentiles, that's what we were before we received Jesus into our hearts, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And then you pick up in verse 12. In him, this is Jesus Christ, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And then I see, as I look back up in verse 8, the boundless riches of Christ. These boundless riches are available to you and to me. So let's go back to our reading, verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. God wants to strengthen you and I today with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, within you, within me, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And everybody should be saying with me, amen. Amen. Say it again. Amen. That you really agree. See, the Lord wants to encourage you and I today. Isaiah 54:2 tells us, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Stretching. That's a scripture that's very important to Terry and I. It's a scripture the Lord has given us over and over and over in the years since he birthed this church, that we need to be rooted and established in God, knowing his mighty power that is in work in you, in you, in you, and in me is for us. That power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, every single one of you who have asked Jesus Christ into your hearts. But you need to know how to release that power. Let me share a fact with you. And this may surprise you, it may not. But do you realize that opportunities for our growth and our blessings are constantly, day by day, coming our way? Do you realize that? But do you realize day by day, you and I walk right past them? Do you realize that? How many of us actually put out our hand and grasp them and say, yes, I will receive this and I will walk in it and I will grow in it? Because that's what God wants you to do today. He wants you to put on your spiritual glasses. He wants you to understand that extraordinary power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in here. But you've got to learn, and I have got to learn, how to release it. We tend to think sometimes, oh, it's easy to stay just as we are. But it's not really, because we make life difficult in doing that. Let me just recap. When we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts, we are born again of the Spirit of God. All right? Then we receive the fullness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we receive that when we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts, and sometimes that's another process further along the path. But if we keep our eyes focused on him, and we are reading his word, and doing all the things he would have us do, we will grow closer and closer, and more in love with Jesus Christ. You heard Anita share that she is so filled, she's so wanting this intimacy with Christ. But he wants it with you and I. He's there all the time, wanting your attention and my attention. So in the beginning, mankind, Adam and Eve, were made in this spiritual awareness. They were made to operate in the extraordinary. But we know the fall happened and they messed up. And we know then generations of mankind inherited that until Jesus Christ came 2,000 plus years ago. Jesus Christ, as we remember this morning, took the sin, the shame of mankind, the fall of mankind, he took it on the cross. But we know more than that. When he died, he didn't stay dead. What happened? He rose again, and you should be off your chairs by now saying, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is alive. He walked this earth for 40 days. He taught his disciples. He appeared to people. He healed people. He delivered people. He set people free. And then he went to heaven, and he said to his disciples, wait for the promised Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. and you will do these things that I've been doing and even greater. You have the Holy Spirit within you when you're born again and filled with the Spirit of God. God wants you and I to restore that intimacy of the relationship with Him. He wants you and I to be flowing in this supernatural, this extraordinary every day of our life. What we call the ordinary isn't satisfying. We will never be filled to exuberance. We will never be overcomers in Christ unless we want to put those spiritual glasses on today. Who's up to put them on today? Yeah, nearly every hand's gone up. When we read the Bible, Old or New Testament, we see the prophets and the disciples doing supernatural things for God, extraordinary things for God. God says that same power is available for you, available for me. It was their choice to do those things. It should be our choice. I want us to briefly this morning, very briefly, look at four reasons why we don't walk in this supernatural every day of our lives. And if we do, we don't walk in it all day. We don't see the extraordinary. We see amazing things happen. But I want to see more, and I know you do too. Four things. Firstly, busyness. Ooh. Secondly, our past experiences in life. Thirdly, fear and fear of man. And fourthly, our thoughts and our words. If you're making notes, one, busyness. Two, our past experiences in life. Three, our fears and fear of man. Four, our thoughts and our words. So firstly, busyness. We all make our own schedules. What's yours looking like? Come on. What's your diary looking like? What's it looking like on your smartphone, all your appointments? I can remember when we actually were so busy, Terry and I, when this church was first birthed, with all the different hats we'd got on. I'd still got an elderly mother alive. We'd got businesses. We'd got J. John's ministry. We'd got a church. We worked 24/7. In fact, I can remember one day saying to Terry, could you introduce yourself to me? Because we didn't see each other. We were so busy. We were shoveling cement down here. We were cleaning the loos. We were doing it all. But that's not right. Because we're a body. We should all be doing these things and all setting our agendas correctly. We learned a hard lesson. It wasn't right. You can't do everything in 24 hours a day. Jesus rested. Jesus took time with Father. You and I need to have time with Father. So, you need to say to yourself, if you want a closer intimacy with God, you've got to do something about it. Sort your schedule out. I can remember years ago when we were helping J. John with this, because the friends of ours, and he said, I feel like flushing my Filofax down the loo, because he was too busy. And it's the same for each one of us. We can be too busy. So I'm saying to you, make a decision today. If you want to grow as a Christian, turn the TV off. Don't have it on when you're not watching it. Turn your mobile off. Stop texting. What about your computer? Stop surfing. Give God time. That's all it is. Give God time. All those other things, nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with a football match. There's nothing wrong with these things. It's getting everything in the right perspective and getting a proper balance. It was for freedom Christ came to set us free, not to be burdened with a yoke of slavery of busyness. Amen? So, control our busyness, yes? Right, our past experiences in life. Now, we've all had a story of our lives. Some of us have had good paths, some of us have had bad paths, some of us have had good and difficult things happen to us. We've had hurts, we've had disappointments, you've had bereavements, desertion, disease, bankruptcy, failure of jobs, failure of businesses, people letting you down, anything. The list is endless. It goes on and on. But have we left it all with Jesus? He's the only one to sort it out. Because you and I can't. We have to let these things go. Cast away the baggage of yesterday. If you know you've unfinished business to sort it out. Put it right with somebody. Forgive somebody. Go the extra mile for people. But don't let your past control your future. Joyce Meyer is good at that, isn't she? Don't let your past control your future. She says it over and over again. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Why is it that we all sing, we've been liberated from bondages? Yes, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. You have rescued me. And yet we all hang on to the past, the hurts. Come on. Let's today believe we actually can leave them with Jesus. Let's do something about it today. The same as we're going to do something about busyness. Let's do something about leaving that behind and moving on. Let's make a decision to surrender it and allow the Lord through his love to embrace us with his loving arms today and leave it behind with him so that we focus on today and tomorrow. Thirdly, fear and fear of man. Well, we've all been sharing over the years, fear, false evidence appearing real. In the Bible, there are over 365 times it says, do not fear, don't be afraid, fear not. Well, we've got one for every day of the year, so why do we do it? It's a habit. It's a habit. As we face our fears, they diminish and fade. A child who's scared of the dark, you put the light on, and they're no longer afraid. The light is Christ. We bring Christ into these things and the fears go. Fear is a choice, you know. You can choose to fear. Because we're choosing to believe in something other than what God says. That's what fear is. Fear and sickness, they are related. Not always, but are related. And when sickness does strike, we have to make a choice to believe God's word. And allow the Lord to wrap his arms around us and help us. Yeah? Fear feeds on wrong beliefs. Fear is doubt. But that little word, beware, there's an underlying truth. Faith is God's final authority. It's his word. It's his word. That is what walking in faith is all about, believing what God says. Believe it. Get it in the sump of your spirit. Use his word. Trust it. Walk in it. Deal with it. We're no longer slaves to fear. And then there's one fear that I'd like to bring out, just a little bit of detail, fear of man. There's people in this fellowship have many times said to me, I'm nervous of so-and-so. Well, I suppose I might be a bit afraid of them, actually. Why? You need to question yourself. Why? Fear of man or woman is an insidious trap. It's debilitating. It will entangle us. And before you know where you are, you're thinking thoughts that are not correct. Do you know what? I've spoken to people and they say, so-and-so doesn't like me because of X, Y, Z. How do you know? You've imagined it. You've built it up. We all do it. What people think of us. We're trying to create a persona. The only persona you need to create is one that's godly. And allow the Lord, through the power of his spirit, to flow through you. Don't bother what other people think. If they think you've done something silly, if they think you're looking silly, who cares? Get over it. Don't build these things up in your mind. They become distorted facts, and then we believe these facts. Consequently, we become upset, and then we become hard-hearted. I'm afraid when we start to imagine somebody thinks something about us, then the next thing is we start to get hard-hearted towards them and other people because we won't open our heart to people. Anybody relating? A few nods. So stop struggling with these type of thoughts. Today, bring these thoughts to God and let Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wash your brain of them and get rid of them. Amen? Your healthy teaching will help you quit thinking with your physical eyes. Do you understand that statement? I wrote it down so I didn't get it wrong. Healthy teaching will help you quit thinking with your physical eyes. We need to put on the spiritual. Stop doing things the way the world does. You know, the world, if a kid hasn't got a, I'm going to date myself now, a pair of trainers with Nike on or something, they feel they're no good. Everybody's judging them. Well, how stupid is that? Come on. Does that mean when we get rid of all these fears and fear of mankind, everybody's going to love us and like us? I'm sorry to say, no, it doesn't. We've lost many of our friends through Christianity and walking the straight path. But I know one thing. Some of those friends then come back and say, what have you got? We want it. They then have a choice. Receive Jesus or not. The choice is theirs. But we always need to be ready to make a stand for Christ, no matter what people think of us. Your fear of man will evaporate when you start to put your best foot forward and start reaching others and thinking about other people rather than what they think of you. Yes? Fourthly, our thoughts and our words. Don't feed wrong thoughts. Don't feed wrong thoughts. We only get in here what we feed into it through our eyes and our ears. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, read it when you're at home. But it says we've got the spiritual weaponry to defeat those thoughts. We can cast down these thoughts. We can deal with them. We can capture them and cast them. A fisherman who casts a rod throws the rod and the cast goes right at the back of the auditorium somewhere. And that's what the Lord wants us to do with wrong thoughts. Say, Lord, I know that was wrong. Let me deal with it now and give it to you. Amen? So easy, really. But the enemy will do all he can to help you think negative, talk negative, be negative, do negative. It would either be your background, your lack of education, how you look, because you're short, because you're tall, because you're thin, because you're fat. He'll always put something in your way to make you speak negative. Don't do it. Don't do it. You are a new creation. God wants to encourage you today. He loves you. He built you specially for such a time as this. Amen? Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. We're still in Ephesians, so just turn over the page. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, this is Paul, remember, encouraging the Ephesian church, You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. The Bible says you and I have the mind of Christ. Let's believe it. Let's start to act it. Let's start to do it. Let's start to be it. Don't allow our attention to be drawn away by circumstances. Meditate the word of God. And everybody says, I don't like that word, meditate. Who could worry? Everybody, if you were honest, to put your hands up. If you can worry, you can meditate. Because all it does, meditation means, is thinking about scripture you've just read. One little verse. Think about it throughout the day. Instead of worrying about things you've got to do that day. Our words are serious. Don't be flippant with your words. We're still in Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Let me just go there. Ephesians 5 verse 4. There shouldn't be any obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Don't be flippant. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We all say things and think, shouldn't have said that. Well, don't say it in the first place. take a check on yourself and say, I'm changing. Because, you know, your thoughts become your words, but then your words become your deeds. So let's stop saying stupid things. Who says stupid things? Terry will tell you, I do from time to time. It's on my hands up. Well, let's stop it, shall we? Stop moaning and groaning about trivia, about other people, about ourselves or circumstances. Stop it. Let's release the power within. Andrew Womack would say, you've already got it, so why don't you use it? Amen? Well, we've already got it, so why don't we use it more? Well, we would if we started dealing with some of these four issues. Let's start speaking aloud God's promises. Let's start believing God's promises. Let's get them in the sump of our being. Let's meditate on those promises. You know, come on, that little word I just said, worry, meditate. Let's think about those little scriptures and let's start getting them in the sump of our spirit, God's promises, so that when things do go pear-shaped in our lives, and they go pear-shaped, we've had some things go pear-shaped this week, not being easy to handle, but we've got through them by the grace of God. We all have these things. You have to deal with them. These are the four major areas I believe God wants us to deal with today. Busyness, past experiences in life, fear and fear of man, our thoughts and our words. Now, he doesn't want you to feel defeated today. He doesn't want you to feel, if they knew how negative I am, oh my word. He doesn't want you to feel like that at all. He wants you today to feel, today is the day. I'm going to get free of this stuff. I'm going to get built up. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to move on. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to grow. Amen? I'm going to see the extraordinary in my life, the supernatural, more and more. Jesus says we're more than a conqueror. So if Jesus says it, why aren't we? Good. One of you knows you are. What about the rest? Yeah, come on. Jesus says we're more than a conqueror. So we should be. Look to Christ. Put on your spiritual armor. Ephesians 6, we've had a lot of teaching in the past about that. I just want us to realize God loves you and me. He knows exactly where you are today. We can't pull the wool over God's eyes at all. He knows all your foibles and all mine. But he wants to encourage you today. He wants to lead you on. He wants us to be a bit like Peter in the boat. If you remember, in Luke 5, verses 4 to 6, Jesus acquisitioned Peter's boat and just went out a little into the shallows to teach and preach on the shore. And then he said to Peter, just take your boat out further and cast your net over the side. Peter could have said, don't be an idiot. I fished all night and got nothing. This is daytime. The fish don't come in the daytime. But he didn't. He just said, because you say so. Doink. Put the net over the edge of the boat. And we know the haul was enormous. So God is saying to you and me today, we can't fathom the supernatural. We can't explain the extraordinary. But we know it happens. I shouldn't be here. I was dying a few years ago in intensive care. I am here. These things happen. All right? We've seen the miraculous in this church only the last few days. We want them all. We want them all. But God wants to use you. He 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 wants to use you and you and you and you. Every single one of us. We've got our part to play. Are you up for it? Jesus came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Who's got abundant life? Yep. Who wants it more abundantly? Amen. Come on, let's just read this Ephesians scripture once more. For this reason, this was Ephesians 3, remember, 14. For this reason, I, Paul, kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We know the reason, because we shared the reason earlier. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. Put your name in there. Nicola, Sandra, Brenda, Terry, Gary, put your name in there that he may strengthen me, Juanita, with his power through his spirit, in my inner being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. Come on, put your own self in. And I pray that me, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That I, that you, come and put yourself in, may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within me, in you. Are you getting it? You've already got it. Use it. Stand with me, please. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. And how long is that? Forever. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We are encouraged this morning. We want to be built up. We want to be strengthened through the power of your Holy Spirit, because you dwell within each one of us who love you by your Holy Spirit. And at this point, I'd ask if there's anybody here who has not asked Jesus into their hearts while everybody's in prayer, could you please just raise your hand and I'd love to pray with you later. Thank you. I've seen your hand. And I would pray, Father, now, that every single person here, including those who raised their hands, would know that love that surpasses all understanding, that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, well up within them and just flow and bubble out from them. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, Amen. Amen. Amen.